Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tam Talk Radio Network.
This is Leroy Glover from the Dallas Cowboys, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Bravo. Well, finally, a liner where they say who they are and where they're from, so you remember, right? Like, it's nice. I'm from the Dallas Cowboys. I know the Dallas Cowboys. Our producer is the biggest fan of the Cowboys.
All right, real quick, before we go to our next guest, we'll be broadcasting next Thursday, not next Wednesday, next Thursday from the Apex. I'm not sure why Media Day is on a Thursday next week. We will get details, but we will be broadcasting live. We're also going to talk about the GOAT, the MLB GOAT, in the next segment, and that would be Ohtani. But right now, let's head to Nashville, my old stomping grounds, as we get ready and continue to get ready for UFC on ESPN. And welcome to the program, Gavin Tucker. Gavin, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Another fight week, and I always ask fighters, do you try to keep it the same? Do you try to mix it up a little because of the monotony of fight week? How will you handle the next couple of days?
I think, honestly, man, it's best not to decide on how you feel or how it's going. Try not to kind of lean on any familiarity. Fighting's crazy. Trying to put any structure to what could happen is probably not the best idea. Fight week usually plays out the same. There's always that weight cut ahead of it, so just kind of dealing with that in small blocks, knowing what's coming up, but not really filling in the details until fight night.
Very good. I understand. Curious, when I jumped on, and a lot of times Wikipedia is not right. You know, I read through your Wikipedia. I saw that you studied jazz and music industry. I know what jazz is. What's music industry?
Yeah, I did. So the industry would be a lot of, like, what would we say, like recording arts, studio work, and things that are kind of form of the venue bookings. And how you have such a big infrastructure in the U.S., how, you know, the fight is a obviously a big part, but it's just one part of the whole production. If you came to see the tech crew and things they bring, and the trucks and the production and the lights, everything around that. So just kind of setting up sound systems, setting up lights, that would be mostly what the industry courses would be for.
I got you. I could have used your help, but when I was in the military, I went to a concert in Norfolk, Virginia, and I just walked around like I owned the place so that I could sneak in to the concert. And somebody said, "Oh, are you here to work?" And I, you know, lied to get into the concert. I said, "Yeah." So they sent me up to, like, work one of the lights at, like, the top of the arena, and I had obviously no clue how to do it or what was going on. Faked my way through it, for sure. So do you play? Did you play a musical instrument?
Yeah, I played guitar. Feels like a lifetime ago now, but I used to play guitar. I would play in theater festivals and different bands, from country to heavy metal to sort of blues bands and stuff like that. So Nashville here is a good city for me. I like it. There's a lot of music culture and a big appreciation for performance in general. So I'm excited to perform here and perform here.
I always ask, fighters, it's fight week. Your main job is getting through up to, making weight, get to the arena, your fight on Saturday, which is your reward. But are you able to get out? And with it being Nashville and a music city, will you be able to walk down Broadway? Will you be able to listen to some of that at all? Or is it, I'm not leaving, I got to take care of business on Saturday and maybe on Sunday?
Yeah, the energy is typically pretty low due to, the carb depletion and the weight cut, and then also we're water loading. So, having 7 liters of water in my stomach walking around, have to go to the bathroom every 10 minutes is not really conducive to walking Broadway. But I will make opportunities once the weigh-in is done, and hopefully have a little time the next day after. But my mind is pretty focused on the fight. I mean, I'd love to see the city and experience some of the stuff, but at the end of the day, I feel like that one big moment building up it's kind of taken all my focus, and I'm just fixated on that. And all the rest is good if there's time for it, but we'll see.
I always say that my next weight cut will be my cremation. Thanks.
Wait, a little bit. Yeah.
I was waiting for the laugh. I'm like, this may not go where I want it to go.
So, Gavin,
I just got back from Brazil. I was there for the last 3 weeks. You know, there's MMA gyms everywhere. There's combat gyms everywhere. I've done a cruise from New York up to Nova Scotia, Fairfax. So what's the culture like up in that region of the world? Like, are there, I don't recall seeing a lot of MMA gyms or training facilities in that part of Canada, but what's it like?
Yeah, it's spot lifestyle wise, you're on the ocean, how people live, very laid back. Oh, it's a smaller city growing. It has a very rich boxing culture there. We've got guys that have been heavyweight champions of the world, fought Muhammad Ali. We've got guys there that have fought Triple G, Golovkin. And we've got a really deep history, amateur boxing, medalists and stuff. So you see a lot of that influence pour down, especially in mindset and towards MMA gyms. Obviously, there's a big jiu-jitsu culture everywhere now, and that's really starting to show. But I think you're going to see the East Coast kind of blow up. It's there. It's just sort of hidden behind this kind of like laid-back sailor lifestyle. But you know how port cities are. It's always rough and tumble, and goes along with that culture. And the old Nova Scotia, the new Scotland, and Newfoundland, the island, and all the Atlantic provinces there. Man, there's a lot of talent that's just kind of waiting to blow up. So hopefully I can showcase a little bit of that on this weekend.
What's the craziest, strangest, you know, thing to happen to you, with you, involving you in the middle of a fight?
Craziest thing for me in the middle of a fight? Oh, geez. I mean, I lost my shorts once. I was fighting off a submission, and my shorts came down over my butt. Had underwear on that were label appropriate, so that's a good thing. But lost my shorts fighting off a submission. Broke my face in four places one fight, and had to keep it rolling. Popped toes and stuff like that. I mean, like, just little. Well, not little, but in hindsight, little things you look back on and have a snicker at. But fighting is just a chaotic sport. You try and bring as much elegance to it as you can, but at the end of the day, you go in with that idea, and it always ends up being some sort of chaos, some sort of elegance and some sort of chaos. So you never know what it's going to be, and that's like a big part of the excitement of doing it, and a big part of the excitement, I think, of watching it. But I would say losing my shorts would be the funniest thing, and having my face broken in four places would have been the most undesirable, unenjoyable part.
Yeah, I didn't know where you were going to end it. I'm like, I don't know if I would have considered the second one any part of enjoyable. But, you know, with the way fans are, and I know this because I sold Matt Serra's underwear when he beat GSP for over $800. Did you ever think of selling those underwear?
No, I never really thought about that at all, but there's some sick people that love the sport. I'm a person to do the sport, and, you know, like, you know, it might not sound enjoyable, but in hindsight, I think you say not enjoyable. You look at what you can get through as a human and as a person, and you look at the things that people will buy for the sake of novelty, and it's all exciting, man. It's definitely a bunch of deviants doing it and watching it, and, you know, I couldn't be happier to have another chance to do it again. I think every day that I get a chance to do it. So,
well, Gavin, if it happened before Derek Lewis took his shorts off the first time, you can say that you started a new trend, because we just saw him lose his shorts in Salt Lake City at UFC 291.
he's a brave, outspoken man, but he's big enough. Who's going to stop him if he wants to take his shorts off? So I got to add a few pounds if I'm going to get that brazen.
Absolutely. Final question for you, Gavin. UFC on ESPN on Saturday. Give me your thoughts on your opponent.
You know, he's an adorable guy, great too, good guard. He's that fight, you know, like all commonalities. Every time people ask him, at the end of the day, it's on me, what I'm going to do, what I know I can do, and what I'm capable of. So I think this fight is going to go everywhere, and I think that this guy is a great opponent for me to go out there and make a return and try to present some of that elegance and chaos that I was talking about earlier.
Awesome. Great stuff. Gavin, thank you very much for your time. Have fun on Saturday. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for coming on and chatting with us. And enjoy the process as always. And reward is Saturday night in Nashville.
Thanks, guys. Good chatting with you.
Take care. That is Gavin Tucker back in the Octagon on Saturday. Let's hit a quick break. And then this isn't a studio. What would you call this dump?
Just a morgue.
Morgue?
Yeah, it's a waiting room.
A live guest in the morgue, in the waiting room.
Are they coming here?
I got to
spruce the place up.
This is Knockout Radio brought to you by 8 Man Strong.
Does that all
8 Man Strong and
we're going to have a company.
We'll be right back. That'll be fun.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Kurt Gowdy, and you're talking sports with Randy Hare.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shoppe. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mark Duper from the Miami Dolphins. You are talking sports with Randy Harris.
We are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink. I'm going to be professional enough to just let you know, Matt, that our next guest is auditioning to replace you.
He can't replace me.
He's trying to get his job back.
I'm irreplaceable.
Yeah, and this, absolutely, I would say, man. I don't have time to tie my shoes. What are you kidding me,
Ryan? That's very true. Ryan Westner, what's up, buddy? It's been a long time.
Man, good to be back on. I love it. This is not baseball. So, this is not football. So this is the real deal.
What years did you serve your time being yeah, on this network?
The prison sentence? I guess it would be 03, 05 would be like my... It would be in that window.
Oh, 305. Okay. So he was a little thinner back then, playing more softball.
I was playing ball back then.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
A little bit more.
More Danny, highlights.
Looked more Danny Bonaducci kind of.
There was that more, going
more,
on,
more,
yeah.
More of the Partridge Family.
All right, a little bit
of that.
Enough with the, you know, gang up on me. You know, we need to do a real
These
segment.
Are just, you know, set spikes. I mean, we've got to get a couple in. Come on.
No, I don't mind. It's just, you know, O'Day Osborne's coming up at the bottom of the hour, and there's things I want to talk to you about.
Bring it.
You want a card charts?
Yes.
What is
sharks?
It?
Card sharks.
Card sharks.
He owns card shops. Okay. We had Bob Eubanks on, who was the host of Card Sharks, so I kind of got confused.
Gotcha.
There. I want to talk mainly about MMA, UFC cards, Panini, but is the Ohtani card the hot thing right now? I mean, arguably, and I don't even think it's an argue, the greatest baseball player of all time.
Yeah, he's hard to keep in the shop. Like, I pulled a few away. Am I over here? That's going to be a keeper. You can't sell them all, but what he's doing, he's looking at 50 mil for 15 years. Guaranteed somebody's going to pony it up.
Oh, yeah.
How do you say no?
Yeah.
750 million guaranteed. Hey, Shohei, we're going to pay you 50 million for the next 15 years. What do you say to that, buddy?
I say,
it doesn't matter what language.
How quick
it comes
can I
across.
Say? Yeah, I don't need to do it in Japanese. I guess the other day, two home runs and pitches a shutout and.
Usually when a player goes crazy like that, you see an immediate spike. But with Shohei, the spikes are so common that he's just on it's crazy.
Well, what's it going for? What's a good, and I know there's 412 companies.
If you have a graded 10 Shohei rookie card, I mean, you're looking at $250 easy, and there's a lot of those.
Really?
Yeah. You start getting the inserts. You start pulling autos. You're adding zeros fast. It's been lucky for me because I had some.
Right.
You know, I had some Brady's. You know, I'm a Michigan fan, right? I had some Brady rookies. Guess what? Those are worth a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Especially when he came here. Are you kidding? Yeah.
So how do you decide, you know, as a card shark?
Thanks. No, yeah, Freudian shark. Slip. It's true. Yeah. Well, he's a scumbag. Yeah. I've known him for a long time.
Yeah, you're worth $250 a dollar. He's like, you're a shark.
Well, a shark knows what they're looking for. You know what you're buying. You know what you're selling. You know, I'm not saying taking advantage. I know that. How do you, as the owner of a card shop, decide what to sell? You're in business to sell. But what to keep, what to invest, what to collect it, because you're a fan as well.
Right. The grading is the thing, right? If it's going to grade out as a 10, the sides are perfect. The corners are sharp. The picture's right on the money. It's centered up all the bells and whistles, and it's just perfect. I'm keeping that card back and probably going to grade it. The other stuff, Shohei aside, Kobe aside, you know the names. I'm ready to just push it out the door for collectors who just want to have it.
Now,
you want to have it.
Now, like currency, when there's a blimp, or a mistake, a wrong color on a dollar bill, like, are there imperfections in cards that make them more valuable than a perfect 10?
Oh, yeah. There's the... there's a couple of good ones. You probably have that.
Well, I have the Billy Ripken.
You can look closely on the knob of the bat. You might find some colorful language.
Well, and if you remember, there's more than one. You know, there's one that says it. Then there's one that it's blacked out. So, that, you know, they errored the error card. Yeah.
The most expensive one is the error where it's black and it's crossed out in white.
Right.
Also, it's like this rush job that they got out. Yeah. And they're like, oh, that's really bad. We got to pull it back. So there's a very limited number of those.
Because
I do have them.
So my parents built their dream house after all 50 years, and they were clearing out their old house, and they found boxes of my old baseball cards. Have them. I have no idea if there's any value there. I have no idea what to do with them. They're sitting.
So the guy.
So
yeah, man.
Or we ought to do this. We should go through it, and then
let me help
Ryan.
You out here first. I'll get the bad ones out of the way. Then we'll
like,
take them
I
over.
I feel like I'm in a pool full of sharks. I don't know. I don't feel safe right now.
I don't do it like that.
So I had a friend of mine that played Major League Baseball, from Lakeland, played for the Oakland A's, Mike Heath.
Okay.
And when the Billy Ripken came out, I mean, it was going for decent money in whatever year it was, a couple $100 or whatever. I can't tell you because I don't remember. And he's like, I'd love to get one. You know, will you sell me one? And I'm like, no, I can't sell it to you. You know, you're a buddy of mine. I can't. He goes, well, what if I give you one of my game jerseys? I go, okay.
Deal. That works.
We can do that.
And counterfeit that card quite a bit. You'd be surprised. Oh, I've had that thing come back twice.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The counterfeit money tech is so good that if you bleach out a card of the same year and you throw that tech on there, very difficult to tell, right? So that's why the grading has become so prevalent and really come on the scene as the way you're going to do your cards.
So if people are listening right now and they have boxes of old cards in the garage or in a storage, you're like, how do we get to you? Where are you located? How do we?
I've got two locations. I think we could probably do it digitally, but right behind Salon Lofts on 4th Street and 11th Avenue North here in St. Pete, and then I'm up in Homosassa, 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard. That's way kind of up the street, but that's a huge space. We've got 2,000 square feet and nothing but cards and cards and cards. So.
Before we run out of time, before O'Day comes on, we might be able to get you back on after O'Day. Talk about Panini now has taken over the UFC. I know that some of the other companies are coming out. What are the hot ones? What are the ones that fans should be trying to get?
Well, right now, I mean, I'm into sealed. When it comes to the really maximizing the value, right? You'd rather have the other guy go fishing for the card that might be in that box. And that's a very real thing. But keeping it is the tough part because people want to open it and see what's inside.
Yeah.
That's why the 2 years old, 3 years old boxes, all of a sudden, those multipliers go way up, man. Because right now, you don't necessarily know how good, great, whatever is going to be the younger cards, right? The rookies.
But isn't the problem the reverse, you know, as well? You know, you've got that guy who's a stud right now. And then all of a sudden, he's going to go on a slide. Sure. He's going to lose four in a row.
Absolutely.
You know, Habib will always be Habib. But fans who I'm not fans of, you know, they're going to look at Anderson Silva and, you know, how he ended his career, you know, losing to Weidman and then, you know, some of the boxing stuff and whatever. So how does that change? Because to me, Anderson Silva still is the GOAT.
I find that it's like NASCAR. People have their fighters. People have their drivers. People have their guys. I mean, obviously going out and winning a bunch of fights, you get more fans, but a lot of it's like they follow that guy for a long time. They're probably not going to be averse to getting his autograph either, even if the career's over. So the UFC stuff that's coming out is beautiful. They've done a remarkable job of improving it because at first, when they were taking the photos and doing the stuff, they didn't have people who knew what the heck they were doing.
Right.
And it looked weird. Now they've got it fixed. The new hobby stuff looks good.
And what's a Lionel Messi Miami Inter card going for now?
Man, it's not out yet. Oh my goodness, man. Ridiculous. Those Messis out of the World Cup set, the every 4 year set, just the base cards like $40, $50. It's stupid. You start pulling prisms and refractors on that thing, he's gonna revolutionize that part of the league, I think.
What's the card that you remember you purchasing? You know, as a fan, because I remember, you know, I don't remember anything. You both know me.
I'm 47. I was 11 years old. Mark McGuire rookies were what I was after. That was the one. Retirement.
The USA card?
Right.
The USA one?
If you could get a hold of
that. I have those in my box. I was telling you about.
But now they're not.
Right. They're not.
They're not worth it, right? I sold the Tiffany 87 tops for $75 in a 10. It was like, tore my heart out, but that's what you get for those.
Right.
They printed too many, and that's it.
And that's what I was saying. You can hold them on too long. When I was in the military, my card that I kept getting was the Ricky Henderson rookie. I love it.
Damn.
And well, well, they've gone down in value. I don't know what they are. I need to come bring them to you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My wife will be happy.
That kid in Oakland who stole all those bases has brought everybody back to Ricky. Well, Ricky stole 100. How many? What? Are you kidding me? Because they're thinking, he's got to be getting close. No, guy, you're not getting close. Right. You're not even sniffing it.
I'm in a Philadelphia Phillies chat room on Facebook. And, you know, whatever the Schwarberger or whatever, that their leadoff hitter. And the guy's like, this is the greatest leadoff hitter in the history of the game. And I said, you need to get off this site. Because the greatest leadoff hitter, in my opinion, is and always will be Ricky Henderson.
I mean,
you can't even touch it.
From that year and what you wanted out of your leadoff guy, absolutely. The expectation of the leadoff hitter has changed dramatically, so there might be an argument there, but Schwarber is not going to be the guy. His on-base percentage is great, but he bats like 211 or something like that.
Henderson's going to homer, or he's going to get hit, and he'll walk to first, and then he'll steal second, steal third, pick up third base, and say he's the greatest of all time.
Are baseball cards in the spoke of your bicycle still a thing?
Yeah, all the time. I got all these 90s baseball cards. You can make a symphony. I mean, it's rough, though, when you see that mantle that you know was in the
I was just going to say mantle.
You know it was in the spokes. It's like, and then the middle's all torn up. It's like, it's just brutal. But it's all of them. That's why they're so valuable.
Yeah.
Because all those cards are trashed. Right. And if you find a good one, it's worth millions of dollars. I'm not kidding.
So, again, let's go through your box before we go to Ryan.
And then we go drain the lake over here at Crescent Lake where the Babe Ruth was playing baseball. We get some authentic baseballs.
That's tough.
Some Mickeys.
Where can people get in touch? Give the address again.
I'm over right behind the Salon Lofts on 4th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's 406 North in 33701. So it's the Betty Ann Hotel is what's making me lose my train of thought. If you know where the old Betty Ann Hotel is, it's been there since the 30s. That's where my shop is now. So
I know where your shop is. I have no idea where Betty Wan, whoever Betty is.
The Betty Ann Hotel was a house over there. But you remember that area was rough, man. When I was in high school, I wouldn't go over there. You lose a bet, maybe. You can't go, but now it's gorgeous over there.
Let's get you back on. Let's talk more about, you know, cards. Get the excitement going. I know there, and then it kind of drifted away, and I know it's come back.
And I have great news for you. I want you back up. Be a part of the program, so you could start next Wednesday at 12 o'clock. Be here live. Okay,
you're gonna fill in. We're not on next Wednesday. We're doing it on Thursday. He's a jackbutt. I almost said he's a jackbutt. All right, let's go hit a break. When we come back, we'll head back to Nashville.
Welcome back to the show.
He's taking over your spot. You get out
next Wednesday.
We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Who is the Macho Man Randy Savage? And when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around. And they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
How's it going, everybody? It's Jordan with Curated Heat, one of the best vintage stores in St. Petersburg, Florida. We are located on 2356 Central Ave in downtown St. Petersburg. We have sold to many different type of people, including Super Bowl winning athletes, celebrities, influencers. We do everything from vintage clothing, Supreme, Hypewear, Kicks, everything you could want, man. So make sure to come stop on down and see us at Curated Heat. Make sure to contact us on our Instagram at Curated Heat or our whatnot at Curated Heat. Again, our Instagram at Curated Heat or whatnot at Curated Heat.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan,
me and many, many others. You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at rossbainesart.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Big John McCarthy from the Ultimate Fighting Championships, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back to live tournament pizza. Another fast fly-in, 2.5 hours, half an hour to go. Working on the supposed alleged start date of the next network that is coming into the family and out in Nebraska is September 1. So it's right around the corner.
Okay.
Looking forward to that.
Nice.
Trying to think what else I want to fill you in on that's none of your business.
That's not true.
Well, I took that from producer Steve.
Everything's my business.
So when can you get these cards here? I'm curious. I want to look at them.
My mom, like last time my parents came down, they just brought all my childhood stuff, like Boy Scout.
So you have it?
I have all of it. I have Boy Scout stuff.
I'll follow you home.
Got merit badges. I'm like an archery expert. I'm like a shot put.
Yeah, you're like a 7-year-old black belt. I get it.
Record holder. Yeah. I mean, I bought one of those black belts online. I finish the course. I mean, were you in a Boy Scouts? Did you guys?
No.
You didn't do a Boy Scouts?
No.
What? So we're equal in military training now?
Whatever. Just
can you do a canoe by yourself?
Can you do me a favor and shut up? We have a guest.
Oh, we do.
And we need to get to him because he's that guy. Remember I told you? You asked me, we were talking about the $1.1 billion.
Yeah.
And I said that if I won, I wouldn't cash the ticket in. I need to find somebody I trust that can handle all the BS that comes with it.
Uh-huh.
That guy is on the line with us right now.
Oh, okay. That guy's got an MMA merit badge.
Yes, he does. I would feel very comfortable with this guest holding my winning ticket of $1.1 billion, and that's the Irish hand grenade, Marcus Davis.
You picked the right guy, man. I got your back, Randy.
That's what I'm saying. I feel comfortable. It is definitely all good. All right, so let's get right into it. I saw on Facebook that you have a book coming out.
Yes.
Okay. I'm pretty concerned because I know a lot of your stories. How many of those stories are in this book?
There are approximately 50 story time with Uncle Marcus stories on here.
That's awesome. Tell me about the book. What's in the book and how many paragraphs am I in?
Well, you didn't make it through the editing process, Randy. So this book started being written in 2008 by my brother and I, and it started out that it was going to be a story of two brothers living in the same home and having two totally different perspectives of how life was in that home. So we had different fathers, but same mother, and we both went through, you know, some horrific times with first my father and then just how life kind of unfolded for us. But unfortunately we never finished the book together. We wrote about maybe a third of it together. And then my brother took his own life. So I then, you know, just obviously didn't do anything. And I just sat there and I didn't, you know, wasn't, I'm going to say, emotionally capable to finish the book. And then about maybe 6 months ago, I sat down and I just basically wrote every day until I finished the book. So it starts basically, well, it's going to be in two parts. This first one, and the book's called How I Became the Irish Hand Grenade. And in this first series, it starts with me, being born and the potential that I almost wasn't. And that's in the story. And then it goes all the way through until I get the call to go on to the Ultimate Fighter. And it ends there. And then the second book that will come out, probably in less than a year, will have the whole UFC career and all the, behind the scenes stuff with the Ultimate Fighter and all my early morning coffee times with George Grigel and all that stuff.
So you're doing it like a movie in two parts. That's a smart business practice.
Well, I didn't think of it like that. The way it happened was that I wrote over 100,000 words, and I was told that it could be around 50 to 60,000 words for the book, right? For a typical biography type book, or autobiography, I should say. So right after editing it and everything, we got it down to the basically the stories that seemed to fit the best and went with those for this first book. And then a lot of the, newer type stories, basically from 2005 until now, will be included in the second book.
Question number one, will there be photographs so that I can read the book? And second, a lot of people who know you, may know a story or two, but, want to see a photo from early Marcus Davis days.
No, there isn't going to be any of those in there right now. But as far as when, publicity stuff and everything starts going on, we are collecting photos from me as a child growing up, and there's some of the amateur boxing pictures and stuff like that that we're trying to pull together that will be part of promoting the book and stuff. But, go ahead.
No, I said very cool. I saw it on Facebook that it's coming out, within the next 72 hours. How can they get it? And whether it's the online ebook or the actual hardcover?
Yeah, so the first release will be the ebook, which will be offered through Amazon. And then it'll be a couple more days. And then they're going to have the soft cover and hardcover in print.
Awesome. Well, you know, I need it.
Yeah.
I need a copy. I want to read through it. Just for the 15 stories that I probably haven't heard. Your fans are, I'm sure, can't wait. I just, needed to shuffle some things to get you on, but I had to get you on before it came out so that we can let as many fans and as many people know that it's out and where they can get it.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, I'll be sharing it on all my social media, links to the download from Amazon. And, it's done, I think, really well. The first two people that have read it are both of my ex-wives. And both of them said that they haven't been able to finish it because they can't stop crying. So that, I think, makes it a really good. So it's, and I will tell you this, I used to be called a robot from my ex-wife. Both of them used to say you're a robot. I had no emotions and stuff, they said. But I had to read through the book three times in the last week, and I've cried every single time, already knowing because I wrote the book. So, it's a lot of emotional stuff that a lot of people who've been through domestic violence and just horrific times will be able to identify with. and you know, and everybody in my life that was for my early life, and all my relatives, they've all passed. So no one's, I'm the oldest one alive in my immediately family. So, and you know, it's been, you know, a crazy ride. So it was really hard to sit there and write a lot of this stuff. But you know, I got through it, and the fight, a lot of fighting obviously in there. And, there's a lot of comedy though in there too. So, there's a couple of good fight stories, one called, Judo Hippie. You'll like that one.
I cannot wait. As always, Marcus, I love you. I just wanted to get you on as quickly as possible to talk about it. And when it does come out, let's get you back on and we can talk more about it.
All right. I love you too, Randy. Thank you so much again. I appreciate it, bro.
Take care. We'll talk to you again soon. That is the Irish hand grenade. What a good dude. What a good era that was, you know, early UFC and all that. All right, let's go hit a quick break. When we come back, O'Day Osborne will close out the show as we get ready for UFC on ESPN in Nashville. We'll do that in the words of one of those game show hosts, 2-2. We'll be right back.
Fireball.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Phyllis Proctor listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer, as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike Ditka, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
That's a good question. We are back.
What's the good question?
What a Mike Ditka football card would go for?
Well, we should have asked Ryan. Right now, we're going to talk more about this Saturday in Nashville, UFC on ESPN. Let's welcome back to the program, O'Day Osborne. O'Day, how are you?
I'm good. Now, how are you doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. I always ask, you know, it's fight week. You've had numerous fight weeks. Do you keep it the same, or do you try to mix it up, or how will you get through the next couple of days, you know, to have Christmas morning on Saturday?
So I think before, you know what I mean, I definitely matured a lot just by doing this so much, whereas before it was, you know, every day I'm like thinking about the fight. Now I'm just like, okay, enjoying the moment. You know, I'm in Nashville right now, so I'm just like thinking about, oh yeah, you know, let's go walk around. Just enjoying every day like it's my retirement fight. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what I'm doing right now. I think that's my new mindset, is just kind of enjoying the present moment and not thinking so much about Saturday until Saturday gets here. You know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. So you're not like, you know, Rocky Balboa with Clubber Lang's photo on the mirror, you know, thinking about Saturday. You're trying not to think about Saturday.
Yeah, because if you think about it, right, it takes energy to, when you get worked up, it's that energy that you're expending, and you don't want to expend unnecessary energy. You want to save all that energy for the fight. You know what I'm saying? You just want to enjoy the moment. You know, I only get to be 31 in the UFC one time.
No, for sure. Well, one of my biggest pet peeves, and believe me, I have plenty of them, have fighters that missed weight. And if I'm correct, three of your last five fights, your opponent missed weight. That's correct, right?
Not necessarily. So the last fight, it was a catch weight. We both agreed on a catch weight. So the last fight was a catch weight. But two of those fights, yes, my opponents missed weight. Yeah.
Okay. So, A, it's one of my biggest pet peeves. Two, we saw what just happened to Wonder Boy, you know, out in Salt Lake City. How do you, and I've always wondered, and you're proving it, where you won, you know, two of those three. How do you accept that? You know, I think as a licensed judge, which has nothing to do with that, but as a judge in Florida, I would like to see bigger penalties. I don't think the penalty is big enough for someone who missed.
Me too, because, you know what I mean, like some of the fighters, it's like, okay, some of the fighters, they'll be like, all right, you know what? Well, you know, 20% of my purse is nothing. I'll just not cut that. You know, I'm not going to cut that weight, because if you think about it, right, it's going to take, it probably takes anywhere from 30 minutes to 45 minutes to an hour to cut maybe a pound and a half. That's you know, that's a lot, especially a flyweight. That's a big difference. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a lot of these fighters are like, oh, I'll just give up that, you know, that 20%, you know, to not, you know, cut that weight and just be stronger, you know, which is kind of, and if you think about it, it's cheating. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to cheat the system. I do feel that some people do have bad weight cuts. You know what I'm saying? That a bad weight cut is a thing, you know? So I don't knock those. If you have a bad weight cut, like I get it, you know, no one's perfect, but I feel like, hey, let's make it, you know, 30%. You know what I'm saying?
As a person, and I say this all the time, and I've already said it to one of the other fighters that's on today, my next weight cut will be my cremation. I get that. You know, I'm not going to weight cut. You know, I'm an old fat dude, blah, 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 blah. But I'm going to disagree with you only because there's many miles between the two of us, and you know, you're not going to be able to punch me in the face. I don't think there's any excuse. I don't care about bad weight. You know, you're a professional. This is your job. It's your job to make sure that when you get on the scale, because it's a huge, and a lot of fans don't get it and understand it. It's a huge advantage, you know, to not cut that last pound or 2 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. But, you know, for me, I'm a fighter. So at the end of the day, it's like, you know what, I'm going to fight you regardless. Like if someone misses weight, it really doesn't bother me as much as it bothers most people. Only, like I said, for me, it's like, I'm gonna go in there and do what I do. Because I try, here's why it doesn't bother me, because I it's not that it doesn't bother me, it's that I won't let it bother me. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Because again, energy, you know, I believe when you use a lot of your energy on unnecessary things, I mean, not unnecessary, it is necessary, but, that's energy that, you know what I mean? You could be using in your fight. So I try not to let it bother me. Now, after my fight, then I'm like, okay, I kind of think about it more, and I'm like, oh, you know what I'm saying? That definitely is, you know, a lot of the advantages. You know, my fault, Manil Kopp, he missed weight by, I think, 2.5 pounds. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, during the time, I was like, I'm not going to let it bother me. But after the fact, I was like, oh, that's 2.5 pounds is makes a big difference. You know, especially a flyweight.
Sure. And I totally get about the energy units. You know, I've had some people in my life that, you know, we've had a disagreement, you know, a falling out, and it would bother me until I finally cut it out, and because that energy was killing me. And once I did, things were better. The final thing I want to bring up about missing weight, I think that there should be at least a 1 point deduction for missing weight.
A 1 point deduction. Yeah. I mean, that's a steep one. I don't know if I agree with the 1 point. In the fight, though, I don't know if I, because I don't know. I think it should be come out of your purse. I think they should suffer to like 30-40% of your purse. I don't know about the fight.
The reason that I say a point, and again, you're the fighter, you know, whatever you think, it makes more sense than, you know, yeah, just me making stuff up on a fly, even though I've said the point forever. The 20%,
well, because 40%, that's a whole round, you know, you're pretty much starting the fight with like a round loss. Sure. That's why I said, I don't know.
And one of the things that's kind of killing my theory on that, you know, we don't do any research on here. It's the longest running MMA show in the country. You know, we just have conversations. Yeah. You know, I've always said I would be curious when a fighter misses weight, how many times the missed weight fighter wins. And I would say it's more times than not. But then you're on and you've won two of the three of them. You know, one was the catch weight and, you know, the other two. So, you know, that kind of throws a thing in. But I believe if every fighter knew they're going to lose a point, which means the chance of them winning is slimmer to none. How many of them are going to miss weight?
Oh, that's true. That is true. I actually didn't think about that. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
It totally changes things. You're fighting the guy. Yeah, you know, just a thought. I don't think anybody will ever do it. But, you know, and if it's the money, I think it needs to be enough of the money where now the guys or girl is not going to want to fight. You're not going to want to fight if you're giving up 50 or 60% of your purse. But you got to make it hurt, no matter what it is. You know, my daughter comes home late. I got to make it hurt. I can't just say, okay, go to bed. We'll talk about it in a year. You got to make it so that they don't do it again. Before we run out of time, let's talk about your opponent. First fight in the UFC. Do you got to kind of try to, you know, block that out? You know, when we had Max Payne on, he said he felt disrespected by who they had him fight because it was somebody fairly new, and then we all know what happened in the fight. So do you have to kind of block that stuff out?
Nah, man. I think it's just another day in the office for me, man, honestly. Rankings are for fans, but I do believe, you know, I shouldn't say rankings are for fans. I mean, it matters when it goes to the top 15. You know what I'm saying? When it's in the top 15, it definitely matters. But it's like you do kind of have to block it out because, you know, for me, it's like, okay, you know, this guy, you know, they're trying to make a name of this guy off of my back. Like, that's not going to happen. You know, I can see where you feel disrespected, you know, because it feels like, you know, this guy's coming, you know, to make a name for himself off of me. You know what I'm saying?
Right, for sure. And I'm going to just add something, you know, that you said rankings are for fans. Unfortunately, rankings are done by some fans. You know, some of the media people that I used to be in the rankings and no longer, because it's fans that are doing some of these sites that are like, oh, no, that's my favorite fighter. I'm ranking him second when he shouldn't even be ranked or ninth. You know, so I've stopped everything involved with the rankings.
Yeah, man, it's I don't even know how they do rankings anymore.
So I know it's a little bit dated, but on a website called MMADissect.com, in an 8-year period from 2013 up 8 years, there were 109 fighters that fought overweight, and it was about a split, 51 wins and 58 losses. So it's about a 50-50 split if you lose overweight or if you miss weight. Okay.
Yeah, because because another... I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Please, cut him off.
I was going to say another way to think about it, too, is, you know, if a fighter misses weight, that just means that their weight cut was really, really bad. So that's how I think of it. You know what I'm saying? Whenever I fight somebody and they miss weight, I try to always think of the optimistic way of, okay, you know, instead of being like, oh man, it's an unfair advantage, because then that's that negative energy that's going into your fight. I just think, okay, this guy had a really bad weight cut, I'm about to take advantage of him.
That's the difference between you and me, Ode. You are a nice human being. I'm like, this is an unprofessional person, and he should lose a point. He should be fined. He should be blah, blah, blah. That's the difference between me and you. You're a good dude. I'm not.
I'm Jamaican, man. It's, you know, we Irish.
Okay. Well, right, there you go.
But that is a great viewpoint, though, because I know coming from the professional bodybuilding world, there's some days you just physically can't lose weight. You did everything right, and you get on the scale, and you're up 2 pounds. And you're like, I didn't even eat anything. I didn't do anything.
Then you didn't do it right.
It's difficult. And it's true. A lot of times, man, when the guys miss weight, their weight cut is so bad, and they're like about to pretty much die. They're like dying on the scale, you know. And so me, I'm like, okay, we doing a lot of body kicks this fight.
Maybe whoever that is that just barely missed weight should watch video of Daniel Cormier weighing in.
Holding the towel. Yeah.
Holding the towel.
The towel trick.
Exactly. Exactly.
It worked.
For real.
What do you know about your opponent? And I'm not even going to attempt to say his name.
Asu Almabayev.
I love this guy.
I know that he's a grappler from Kazakhstan, a grappler wrestler. His style is kind of boring. He has a very boring, he's not like ground and pound. He's looking to kind of hold you. That's what it looks like from, you know what I mean? On the feet, he's looking to throw, spinning techniques. And I don't know, man. It's hard to say with those guys, you know what I mean? Because a lot of those guys, they compete in tournaments and they build pat their record. And so it's really hard to say. So I'm just going to go in there and test his chin out, test his body out and see what he's about. You know, the only one way to find out is just go in there. Sometimes you can't really think too much about that because you can't. Sometimes, I'm just going to say it, sometimes guys really are trash and you give them too much credit and you make them better than they are. So I'm not trying to make him better than he is.
Right. I get you. O'Day, we are out of time. We're at the top of the hour. Thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the week. Have fun on Saturday. And we're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for coming on. Have fun on Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Take care. Awesome. That dude's awesome. O'Day is awesome.
Great.
UFC on ESPN Nashville on Saturday. See everybody next Thursday live from the Apex in Las Vegas. You must have it.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.